Did y'all set a wedding date yet? When? So you're the one. I didn't put your name down. Somebody said, I got a wedding on November 11th. I can't remember who it is. I got to go to a wedding. Yeah. I'm good then. I'm glad I thought of that when you walked by. I got a lot of weddings this year, and I was all confused about who they, when they are and who they are. But I'll write that down. Ask me about that some other time. Anyway, I'm having trouble with my ADD this morning. Pretty bad, and I got here late for that, almost late. I mean, I got here on time for the 8 o'clock service, but I squirreled the whole time, so y'all try not to distract me. No bodily noises, phone rings, nothing like that. I'll just be blah. All right. I'm in my favorite chapter this week. I talked to a lot of folks. I think I've actually taught on this before, but after kind of listening to the Holy Spirit and listening to you guys and kind of what's been going on with some of your lives, I think I needed to get back into it. Guys, we got three enemies that are trying to mess up our life. And they want to defeat your family. They want to defeat your life and they want to steal your soul and keep you from fulfilling the purpose that God has for you. These three enemies sometimes triple team you. The Bible calls them the world, the flesh, and the devil. Those are the three main enemies that we have. And the world comes around you, Satan comes against you, and the flesh is you having to battle within you, which is really the biggest enemy that we have is ourselves. We got to know who we're fighting against, you know, in order to win the battle. So it's important to talk about it. So for the next couple of weeks, we're going to be looking at that. But today and next Sunday, we're looking at the biggest enemy, which is you. You can't run away from you. You know, you can go to Cancun, but you carry you with you. And what I'm finding out and want to tell you is that if you're a believer, you have two natures. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have two natures. You have an old nature and you have a new nature, which is governed by the Holy Spirit. Your old nature is governed by you. Your old nature kind of wants to do what's convenient. What's easy and quick and fun. It's not necessarily what's good for you sometimes. And a lot of things that you and I do naturally are self-destructive. And there's some things that you and I could do that are good and healthy, and we just don't do them. And sometimes we know things are bad and unhealthy, and we do them anyway. We just do them anyway. And Paul tells us that at the end of chapter 70 in Romans, that I want to do with the right things, but I just don't. I thought, that's our story. We want to do what's right, but just sometimes we don't. And we choose easier, we choose convenient, we choose quick, you know, and not what's right or best. You know, I still believe, and I told you a couple of weeks ago, that some of the biggest problems stem from our inability to delay gratification. Our inability to wait. You know, we want it now. And we can't wait sometimes, it seems like. But I want to tell you guys, life's all about choices. Every day's a test, and life is about choices. And what's best for me, or what does God want best for me? Got to make that choice. You know, and intentions, the best intentions just aren't good enough. We got to make some choices. And most of your unhappiness in life, I'm telling you, after listening to you guys, most of your unhappiness in life is because you listen to you instead of God. So we got to get this down right here. We got to be what's important. I mean, we tell our stuff all the time that's just not true. So I want to tell you, somebody loves you and cares for you. You know, just because you have a thought doesn't mean it's accurate. Doesn't mean it's true. Doesn't mean it's correct. So what I want to do this weekend and next is I want to overcome these seven weapons of self-destruction. And I think I've told you about them before in Romans 7, things that you and I do to ourselves. All the a lot that causes pain, a lot that causes unhappiness, a lot that causes unneeded pressure and stress in our life. Then I'm going to go, like I said, to my favorite chapter in the Bible. By far, it's my favorite chapter in the Bible is Romans chapter 8. I just love it, of how the Spirit of God that lives inside of you and me can give us an antidote to these weapons. We have that as believers. But first, I didn't leave a spot on your outline, and I'm sorry, but write these somewhere in the margin. I want to give you 7 weapons of self-destruction that come against us. But the whole lesson is going to be on the antidotes. But here's the 7 weapons. First one is shame. It's shame. Because I got to tell you something, guys, this is important that we deal with this, because we can't be happy and feel shame, at the same time. And God doesn't want us walking around like that, feeling shame. The second self-destructive weapon is uncontrolled thoughts. I'm telling you, uncontrolled thoughts. We got to learn, how to control our thoughts, or they're going to ruin our life. The third weapon is compulsion. You know what I'm talking about? Things in life that you just felt you had to do or had to have, though you knew it was wrong. Those are compulsions. The fourth weapon, the self-destructive weapon, is fear. This is because it limits our happiness. It limits our potential. Fear is a purpose destroyer. It limits your life. It immobilizes you. The fifth self-destructive weapon is hopelessness. This emotion of hopelessness just keeps you from keeping on. It just makes you discouraged. It makes you want to give up. The sixth weapon is bitterness. Bitterness. And I hear this a lot from some of you guys. It's life's unfair. I'm broken. And I tell you, hey, we don't all get the same thing. Life ain't fair. Guys, with bitterness, you're going to get jealous. But you have a choice. You can either choose to be bitter, or you can choose to get better. It's up to you. Because here's what I want to say to you, if you're one of those persons, there is no value to holding on to a grudge. There is just no value. Bitterness will eat you alive. It hurts you. It don't hurt other people. You always hurt you the most when you're trapped in bitterness. And then the last thing is insecurity. And if you don't deal with this one, it's going to cause you to do some stupid things. It's going to cause you to say some stupid things. You're trying to show everyone else how confident you are, and you're just goofy. And you're just, what you are when you're insecure? And I've been waiting to use this word all week because we ain't used it in a long time. It was kind of a fad word. You're a poser. You're a poser, and posers know. Fake people are recognized by fake people. You can't hide insecurity. Posers only impress other posers. Amen? So the classic passage on dealing with all those 7 things is Romans 8. On dealing with weapons of self-destruction. They give us the answer. At the end of chapter 7, Paul says, I've tried everything, man. I have tried everything. In our languages, I've watched Oprah. I've had seminars. I've read all the books. Paul said, who's going to free me from this life dominated by sin? That's what he's saying at the end of 7. Who's going to free me? This is why I like chapter 8. Because he tells who's going to free you. Because the answer to our problem and our mess ups and our sinful life that we would like to change is not a pill. It's not a program. It's not a self help book. It's not a hypnosis. The answer is in a person. And that person is Jesus Christ and his spirit that he gives us. I love to talk about the Holy Spirit since I've kind of tapped into it. It's how can I be free? That spirit that lives inside of you is the antidote to all seven of these self-destructive weapons. The Holy Spirit is. And so how can I be free from me? We're going to get the truth from Romans chapter 8. Seven mental habits that you and me have to develop. Like I say, Romans chapter 8 is the greatest chapter in the Bible. You ought to just go home and read it. It is really good. But we're just going to... So I want you to take a lot of notes today. I've taken a lot. I'm going to try to get through it as fast as I can. I hope I don't put you to sleep. I'm only going to talk about three of them today. But the first step in being free from me is this. Number one, I must remind myself daily of what Jesus did for me. I must remind myself daily about the benefits of salvation. Daily of what Jesus Christ did for me. You know, a lot of people have been saved, but they don't act like it. And I'll get there. You know, they run around and they're just in shame, guilty, uncontrolled thoughts, and all the rest of these fears. I've met people got all seven of them. You know, and their life's dominated by it. They're believers, but they're not set free from themselves. Y'all know what I'm talking about? They're just not set free from themselves. And this is the first step, is to remember Jesus did something for you. He died for you. We got to remember that. Romans 8, 1 and 4. Listen, so there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Underline no condemnation, and we'll come back there. For the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you through Christ Jesus from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses couldn't save us because of our sinful nature, but God put into effect a different plan to save us. He sent his own Son in a human body like ours, except that ours are sinful. God destroyed sin's control over us by giving his Son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so the requirement of the law would be fully accomplished for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the what? We got to talk about the Spirit more. But let's move up to these words. No condemnation. No condemnation means that God doesn't judge you for all the things you've done wrong because Jesus took all that judgment on the cross. So there is no condemnation. Jesus took our condemnation. Jesus took our penalty. We need to remind ourselves that from time to time. He took it. For those who belong to Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. I shouldn't be guilty. And I shouldn't walk around feeling ashamed. I'm not ashamed. Jesus paid the price. No condemnation. This whole passage is talking about people who've given their life to Jesus Christ. So if you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ, this doesn't apply to you. But if you've given your life to Jesus Christ, there is no condemnation. There is no condemnation. God is not mad at you because you have sinned. He took the condemnation from that. He paid. He took the payment. Jesus Christ paid for it. It doesn't say that after I became a Christian that I won't sin. You and I are still going to sin. We're still going to make mistakes. We're still going to fail, and we're still going to look stupid. But it does say I'm under no condemnation. I'm under no condemnation. I don't have to walk around with shame and guilt because Jesus paid for it. He paid for our past sins, our present sins, and our future sins. No condemnation. I love what it goes on to say, power of the life-giving Spirit. Power of the life-giving Spirit has freed me from the power of sin. Because I'm a believer in Jesus, I got a new power in my life that's greater than my willpower. Because I want to tell you something, that's good news. You ought to look like it's good news. Because, see, we've been Christians for so long, we done forgot about our old life when all we had was our willpower. But as a Christian, we got the Holy Spirit power also. We got a whole new power. See, like I said, that's all we had before we came into Christianity, just sheer willpower. How's that working out for you? If you're not a Christian, I'd love to talk to you about that you don't have any power from the Holy Spirit. But unfortunately, a lot of Christians, a lot of you guys, are still relying on your own willpower. You talk to me, you tell me, you've come to me this week. You haven't even tapped into the power from the Holy Spirit that dwells inside you. It's there. He's there. The power of Jesus is inside you. You got a new power. You got a new sheriff in town. It's a new power. I love that this says, keeping God's laws can't save you. Had a man tell me one time, I know I'm going to heaven because I keep the Ten Commandments. I said, what are they? He couldn't even recite them. I said, if you don't even know what they are, how can you keep them? How can you keep them? Keeping laws never work. And you know why? Because of our sinful nature. You see, laws work on outside behavior. They don't work on inside change. I'm going to tell you something, guys. You can put lipstick on a pig. It is still a pig. You can put this new cologne out they got now, Corral number 5. Y'all didn't get that, did you? Corral, not Chanel. I ain't going to use that in 11 if it didn't help y'all know. It's still a pig. It's still a pig. But this is what happens with self-help programs. You know, we kind of spiff up the outside, but inside we've still got the same nature. If you're going to have a radical change, it's got to change your nature, and only God can do that. Amen. Only God can change your heart. By the way, this is why I'm not a politician and I'm a pastor, is that I have zero faith in politics and laws to change human behavior. You know, because laws can't change the heart. Only Jesus can change the heart. Only Jesus can change the heart. If I thought you could change human behavior by laws, I'd run for something right now. I would be in politics, but there's just no track record that it actually changes people. Only Jesus can do that. We still break the laws when they're made. I do too, and you do too. We still break the laws. I want to tell you some good things. That I've run into some folks. Here's a kind of a common theme that I've ran into people at North Point. And I love this is how we believe here at North Point. Is when we are on the inside of our little North Point cocoon, you don't expect somebody to act like a believer until he or she actually is one. You don't expect somebody to act like one until they actually are one. You know why? They ain't got the power to change. We got the power. We got the Holy Spirit power. But I want to tell you something. If you do have that access to that power, I, as your pastor, expect to see some change. I think more importantly, God expects to see some change. Jesus loves you just the way you are, but he loves you too much to let you stay that way. Amen? Because so if there ain't no change, you might all check yourself. All right? That's all I'll go on there. But we expect some change. You know, I love that it says in this verse, God said, I put into effect a different plan to save us. He sent his own son in a body just like ours, but knew no sin. But but he knew no sin. He did this for us. He did all the right things for us. Guys, if you and me, if we're really serious about changing and to be set free from ourselves, let me tell you where else it's going to start with. It's going to start with our minds. The Bible tells us very clearly that the way we act is determined by the way we feel. And the way we feel is determined by the way we think. And if we're acting depressed, it's because we feel depressed. And if we feel depressed, it's probably because we're thinking depressed thoughts. Amen? I'm telling you. And so, if we want to get out of some funk, out of depression funk that we're in, we got to stop thinking depressive thoughts. You can't stop feeling them. Because feelings are feelings. You can't force no feeling. I was telling the 8 o'clock service, when I think about this, I think about that song. It's the way my ADD's acting up. I can't fight this feeling anymore. It wasn't that funny to y'all either. I wanted to, my ADD's tearing me up. But guys, what we do here when we're having trouble with our thinking is that you change the way you think. And if you change the way you think, it'll change the way you feel. And if you change the way you feel, it'll change the way you act. If you change the way you think, it'll change the way you feel. And if you change the way you feel, it'll change the way you act. It's in the mind. Change the way you think. You can't feel your way into a better feeling. But you can think it. You can think good thoughts. That's good news. Now that you're a Christian, because you have the Holy Spirit. That'll help you. That's the second step. I asked the Holy Spirit to give me better thoughts. I asked the Holy Spirit to give me better thoughts. And He will give you better thoughts. This is the second key to permanent change in your life. Romans 8, 5, and 6 says, those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. I asked the Holy Spirit to give me better thoughts. I had a wedding yesterday, and on the way back, I should have just stayed for lunch, but on the way back, I'm on call, and so I had to get back. And I stopped at QT. Get me a Diet Coke. I ain't had one in 4 or 5 days. I was wanting one. Well, that was a maple donut. See, I was looking at that maple donut because I thought, oh, yeah, it's donut. It's National Donut Day this week, and I didn't celebrate. I could just make up for it today. I ain't had a donut in a while then. I said, boy, I love maple. It was one of them big Long Johns. It looked bigger and bigger as I looked at it. I said, what am I doing? I got to get out of here. That donut's not good for me. You know? That ain't good for me. Let me walk around that thing and get the Diet Coke. Went to the other side. They had pizza and gravy. I said, Lord, let me think about something else. You know what I started thinking about? You guys. I started thinking about cutting grass. I started thinking about my family. I said, Jim, you gotta be healthier. You got to eat better so you can hang around. I want to teach as long as I can. I want to be here as long as I can. I want to be healthier. I want to be a better example to you guys. So I didn't eat that donut. I didn't eat that pizza and gravy. I sucked down that Diet Coke though. Then I went and cut grass, but. But my point is I asked the Holy Spirit for better thoughts. That's what I did, just simple. Holy Spirit, let me think about something else. I have access to your power. Let me do that. And so I did. And I thought about you guys. And yes, you guys are better thoughts. But what this verse tells us is there's a mindset of the old nature, and then there's a mindset of the Holy Spirit. And how I normally think of life, and how the Holy Spirit directs my life. And so we gotta decide, what are we going to listen to? We're going to listen to the old nature, the new nature, the Holy Spirit. Which one is true? We know which one is true, don't we? The Holy Spirit. And we have to choose for ourselves. You and me have to choose for ourselves. I love that this verse says, it tells you what the difference is. The sinful mindset is what? Death. The sinful mindset that you listen to is self-destructive. But the Spirit is life and peace. And it's all about the mindset that you and I choose, the way we're thinking. When I say mindset, it's the way we're thinking. You know, this is the Holy Spirit's answer to that second one, uncontrolled thoughts. We've got to control our thoughts. Write down principle of replacement. Principle of replacement. See, I replaced those thoughts of the donuts with y'all. I replaced those thoughts of the donuts with my family. Some days it's the only thing I can do. I have to do that when I want to lay in bed and be lazy and not go work out. Is I think of my children. And I replace those thoughts with you guys. I think I want to be a better pastor. I want to be a better example to you guys. So it gets me up and gets me to go exercise. And so that I can be a better example for y'all. Because I just know that any time you want to do something worth changing in your life, you don't just resist it. You got to replace it. You don't just resist it. You got to replace it. And you know, and I'm going to tell you, and I've told y'all this 100 times, don't focus on what you quit. Don't focus on what you quit. I could have stood there and said, I don't want that donut, I don't want that donut, I don't want that maple-covered donut, I don't want that big maple-covered long john. I'm not going to get it, I'm not going to get it. Ain't no way I'm going to get it. Pretty soon I'd be wiping my mouth with maple all over it because I would be focused on it. Guys, if it gets your attention, whatever gets your attention gets you. If you want to replace a bad habit in your life, you know, don't just resist it. You gotta refocus. Because whatever resists always persists, it seems like. And just because you keep focusing on it. And so you gotta turn the channel, is what I kind of call it. You gotta replace it. You know, and be careful where you go. If you're struggling with alcohol, don't go in a bar. Well, you know, that's just dumb. You know, and so just don't do that. Replace it. Replace it with something good. And ask the Holy Spirit to give you better thoughts. So that, because you choose what to dwell on. You choose what to focus on. That's a fact. Your mind only goes where you direct it. If you have both natures. If you're a believer. Can choose to ask the Holy Spirit, because those who live by the Holy Spirit have their mind set on one thing, and those who don't have their mind set on the sinful nature. That's where, and it leads to self-destruction. And the mindset of the Spirit is going to lead us, according to the Scripture, to peace. And I didn't wake up this morning and said, "Man, I want to be self-destructive today." I don't think none of us did. I want to just wake up and just be awful. No, I want to wake up to a life of peace. Don't y'all? And so we got that choice to make. Romans 8, 7 and 8 says this. The sinful mind is what? Hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Change comes from the inside out. From the inside out. Number three, this is the third mental habit that we're going to have to develop. To be set free is this. I have a new ability to say no. I have a new ability to say no. Now that I'm a believer, I have a new ability to say no to self-destructive things in my life. See, before, like I said before, before you were a believer, all you had was one source of power. Your willpower. But now that you have a believer, you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have the Holy Spirit. You have a new power. And you need to tap into that power. See, because willpower wears out. You know, before I had the Holy Spirit, I'm just telling you, I was trying to remember my days before the Holy Spirit. And there was just a lot of things I couldn't say no to. Oh, I'm telling you, there was just a lot of things I couldn't say no to. I was very self-destructive. There was thoughts, there was compulsions. You can call them habits, you can call them urges, lust, impulses. You know, the truth is, before the Holy Spirit came into my life, I couldn't say no, and they were destroying me. They were absolutely destroying me because all I had was willpower. That didn't get me nowhere. Nowhere. But Him, the Holy Spirit, gives me that power. And I wish I'd put this in your outline. I want you guys to write down Galatians 5:16. I just found this verse yesterday and I didn't have time to put it in. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. You're still going to have those desires, but I won't have to gratify. You won't have to gratify. You won't be, the temptations won't be as hard with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Because you have the power to say no. You have the power to walk away. You have that power. Some people say, well, Jim, just God gave me these natural desires. Why, you know, why should I limit my natural desires? Well, I'm going to tell you, not every natural desire is good for you. It is just not good for you. Because I'm going to just tell you, y'all guys know that I'm pretty good now. But I dealt with rage at Celebrate Recovery. But every once in a while, they still sometimes, I just want to throat punch somebody. I'm talking about a really rare back and throat. I mean, and that doesn't mean I should do it. Just because my natural desire is I want to. And y'all know how I feel about bicyclists. I mean, I ride a bicycle myself. And it's not all bicyclists. Just those guys that think they're on the road. And they won't get out of the way. Some of them are very arrogant. And I just want to ride beside them and open my door up on them sometimes. I rode by one the other day. I thought he was just wouldn't get out the way. And I thought, you better be glad I'm saved. You better be glad I ain't making a decision what to do right now. Because I want to open the door up on you. My weapon that I'm driving is bigger than the one you riding. Amen? Better be glad I'm saved. But I asked the Holy Spirit, should I run over him or not? So I said, yeah, I have a lot of natural desires that we don't need to fulfill. Guys, just because it's natural doesn't mean it's good. So if you're a bicyclist, you better be glad I'm saved. I mean, arsenic's natural, but it ain't good for you to eat. Lots of natural things can be poison. Lots of natural things that are self-destructive. But maturity is when you do the right thing and not what you feel like doing. Amen? Because what you feel like doing isn't always best for you, somebody else, and certainly not God's will. Good news is Romans 8:9 says, but you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are now controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ living in them does not belong to Christ. Y'all get that? Some people mistakenly think they get God kind of piecemeal. That you maybe get God a little bit, then later on you get Jesus, and later on you get the Holy Spirit. Nope. God is a Trinity. I'm here to tell you this morning, when you got Jesus into your heart, you got all of God. You got the Spirit, you got Jesus, you can't separate them. You can't separate them. The moment you accepted Jesus Christ into your life, you got the Holy Spirit too. He is dwelling inside you. You got all of God. But the question is does God have all of you? That's what we should be. Does God have all of you the rest of your life? You see, the rest of your life, you'll be giving more and more. The more of your life you give to Him, the more of the Holy Spirit He's going to give to you. Amen? And that's what happens. This new ability to say no. When you turn that area of your life over to Him. Romans 8:12 says, so dear brothers, you have no obligations anymore to your old sinful nature to do what it begs you to do. You're set free from compulsion. You've been set free. It is there. It says, I don't have any obligation. I don't have to rely just on my willpower. People tell me all the time, especially folks that, let me just be right with a conversation that I had in my office a while back concerning adultery. Jim, I just couldn't help myself. I just couldn't help myself. I couldn't stop myself. I just felt compelled to do it. If you're a Christian and you tell me that you couldn't help yourself, you couldn't stop yourself, you're lying. You simply didn't call on the power that was available in that moment of temptation. And you were selfish and you ruined your life and your family's for 1 second. Of compulsion. You can call on the name of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. Guys, I want to tell you, you got a new power. You got a new power in these self-destructive decisions that we're making. Don't come to me telling me you couldn't help yourself. You can. The power of a living God lives inside of you. As a believer, you have a new power. You have an ability, a new ability to say no. No. That's all I got wrote down. Guys, I want to tell you, you may be here today and don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You may be held captive by your selfish desires. And today I want to tell you that you can be set free. You can get it all. You can get it all. And maybe you're sitting here today, so I hadn't thought about the Holy Spirit that way. Well, Romans chapter 8. You can be set free. You don't have to be, ooh, I love that. You ain't obligated to that sinful man no more. You're not obligated to that. Bad decisions can go. You can stop hurting yourself, hurting your family, and hurting others. You don't have to anymore. I'm telling you, that's freedom. That's freedom. I done found me a new verse. Galatians 5:16. I'm not obligated. Because I got the Spirit that dwells inside me. Now let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your Spirit. I thank you for your Holy Spirit that sets us apart. And as we walk in, as we give more of our life over to you, we get more power. I look forward to now giving you parts of others in my life just to see this power. Until you get it all. Lord, I pray for the folks that are held captive, that are still following their old nature self and their old nature and following their compulsions and their desires. And I pray today that they realize, you know what, I can call on the Holy Spirit next time I'm in a temptation. I can call on Him to help me walk away, to help me say no, because I got a new power. It's Holy Spirit, you've been there all the time, but I haven't given you that part of my life. But today I'm giving you that part. And I need your help in saying no to walk away. I've tried all kinds of things. I've been to counseling. I've been to all these books and I've traveled for miles searching for help, and it's been right here in my heart. Oh, Holy Spirit, come. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.